Actually, please come close. Please come right up here. So Mr. Wong to come close to. So if you're a long way away, then either you will not hear, or even if you do hear, then you won't hear clearly and you won't understand. So today, as a Thai person, I'm speaking Thai language, but I'm not speaking proper Central Thai because that is not my real language, so I cannot really speak Central Thai the way a Bangkok person will. So Yongpo is asking me to translate so that the people who cannot understand Thai who are listening to this will be able to understand what is being said. He does not know. Really, when Yongpo is talking to you, you don't understand, right? So you have to depend upon the translator so that you will know, so you should listen. So today I will speak about the way of curing our conditioning. So I speak about the developing of sati, samadhi, panya, or the doing of awareness, the developing of awareness of feeling, of the awakened state of ourselves. So when we practice correctly the developing of sati, samadhi, panya, or the doing of awareness of the awakenedness of ourselves always, when we do this correctly, it will not be very long, at the most 10 days, before we have the arising of knowing, and which is the knowing of rupnam, body-mind, and of body-acting, mind-acting. And this impresses itself upon the mind. So when we know body, mind, body acting, mind acting, and body disease, mind disease, then we know dukkham anicca anatta, we know suffering, we know the instability of rupnam, and we know the uncontrollability of rupnam. So when we know this, then we know sumut, which means convention, or abstraction, or supposing, or imagining. And we have to know this completely, we have to know all of it, which is knowing hell and heaven and ghosts and deities and gods and all the different religions and everything there is in the world we can know as it is, as the conventional form of view. So there is a great deal of supposing. For example, the supposed Thai person and the supposed French person, the supposed American, the supposed Chinese, the supposed Vietnamese, the supposed Indian, and so on. This is all supposition. So with ghosts and deities and heaven and hell, again, this is the arising of supposing, the arising of convention. So therefore there is a very great deal of supposing. So there is a great deal of samut. To enumerate, there is the samut convention, the paramat convention, the atta convention, and the arya convention. As far as the first one, the Samut convention goes, that arises by itself. You don't have to do anything about that one. But as far as Paramat goes, that convention arises because of your practice or your understanding. But that is also a convention. So Atta convention, Atta means deep, very difficult to know. Arya convention is the knowledge, the understanding of the noble individual. Therefore we should practice to be noble individuals so that we can cure our own problems and cure the problems of our friends, our society. Arya means someone who is far from defilement, far from pain. So when we know Samut and we know all conventions, then we know religion and we know the Buddhist religion and we know what is evil and we know what is not evil. Religion does not mean the material world. It does not refer to the material world. It does not refer to buildings or images or books or the words in those books. But religion means the person, the individual. Every individual is religion. So religion therefore means the teaching of one that knows. And whatever that individual knows, then he brings that to teach. And that teaching enters the ear. So, in all the religions, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Mahayana form of Buddhism, this is what we are talking about is just the teaching. Now we come to Buddhism. Buddha means one that knows, one that has awoken, one that is blessed with Dharma. So Buddhism therefore means refuge. And when you know Buddhism, then you have found true refuge. So there's no need to try to find refuge in spirits, no need to try to find refuge in deities or in astrology and auspicious times and finding the right time to do things. You don't have to try to find refuge in anyone, because the Buddha taught that one is one's own refuge. So when you know this, then you can know about evil or sin or what is bad, and you can know about what is really good, what is really necessary, and you can really know this. So evil means stupid, dark, not knowing. And the not evil, the good, the necessary, means bright, it means clever, it means knowing. So this is the fruit of developing sati, developing samadhi, developing panya, or to put it another way, the fruit of doing awareness of ourselves, of doing feeling of ourselves. That if knowledge arises and we see clearly, we know really, and if knowledge impresses itself upon the mind of the one that does the practice. So when we know this, then a problem arises in the practice where there is a great deal of thinking and we enter the thoughts. And so this is called vipassana upavilesa, which means the defilement of insight. So when this problem arises and one is being swept away by thought, then one should do awareness of oneself, do feeling of oneself. For example, turning the hand up and turning the hand down, raising the arm and lowering the arm, blinking the eyes, breathing in and out, leaning to the left, leaning to the right, swallowing saliva. And when one does awareness, feeling of oneself, then the non-awareness, the non-feeling, disappears by itself. So in this way of practice, there is no need to sit still, close one's eyes and try not to think. But in this way of practice, the eye sees sight, the ear hears, the nose smells, the tongue tastes, and the body touches, and we know. And the mind can think thoughts, and we know. And this is a necessary way of practice. And when you do it in this way, then you can have panya arise, knowing arise, the clear knowing and the real knowing. So this is called vipassana, insight, which means real knowing, clear knowing and real knowing. That is to say, the clear knowing and the real knowing of one's own original condition, one's original nature. So you have to be careful in the practice of when you have knowing arise, then you forget yourself and get caught up in the thought. So at that time you should do, for example, the arm movement. And you should do it harder, you should do it stronger or faster, so that the feeling is there. And when the feeling is there, the awareness is there, then the thought will stop by itself. So when the defilement of insight comes, then one enters into thought, so one cannot see thought. One knows thought, and one has the knowing of thought, but that is not seeing thought. And when we cannot see thought, then we cannot see clearly, we cannot know really. So when we know, then we are glad, we are happy, we have a good emotion or a good mood, a good state of mind. But the good state of mind is different from the good mind, the state of being a good mind. The good state of mind and the state of the mind being good is different. So people who enjoy practicing or develop the practice of tranquility meditation, they like to see colours and lights and images and all kinds of things outside themselves. And this is when you see these things, then you cannot see thought and you cannot see yourself, you cannot see the mind, you cannot see yourself. And this is a form of deception, a self-deception, when seeing lights or seeing images or Buddha images or skeletons or whatever. And this is very, very different from insight, real insight, which is the insight into oneself, into one's own original nature. So in this way of practice, we do not sit still with eyes closed, because that is the way that leads into self-perception, that we stand up and we live our life and we move. So we do awareness of ourselves, we do feeling of ourselves, the awakening of ourselves, and so we can see, we can know, we can understand the thought of ourselves, our own thought. So when it thinks and we see thought, we see, we know, we understand, then seeing thought means that we see the characteristic, the nature, the state of thought, and this is called paramat, this is called touchable or actuality. Paramat prevention, the convention of the touchable, the convention of actuality. So paramat means truth, means actuality, and when you know it, that's the way it is, and when you don't know it, and you didn't know it, and if you don't know it now, it's still the way it is. So atta convention means deep, difficult to know. That is, it is difficult to know one's own mind. It is difficult to know one's own life. So when we know our own mind, we know our own life, this is called the Arya convention, the convention of the noble. So this is called to be the noble individual. When one knows this, one is called the noble individual. So when we see, know and understand like this, and it has been impressed upon the mind, we have reached into the mind, then anger, delusion, greed cannot arise. So anger, delusion, greed loses, takes the nuisance, it fades away. And when this happens, healing is there without suffering, without dukkha. Thirst is there without suffering. The movement of the mind is there without suffering. And consciousness or knowingness is there without suffering. This is the curing of one's own problem. Because we do not allow suffering to arise. We do not allow suffering to be born. Therefore, we can cure our own problems. So somebody else may not want the same as us. So this is because people have misunderstood the teaching. For example, what they want in the religion are the powers that they think the Buddha has, like divine eye, divine ear, which they read about. And they think that this means that the Buddha could sit in one place and see things happening a long, long way away. And this is called to have very weak panya, to have very weak knowing. So the Buddha sees his own mind. And when he sees his own mind, then he knows we don't want suffering, others don't want suffering. We want happiness, others want happiness. We don't want what is bad, others don't want what is bad. We want goodness, others know what is goodness. So it is not that the Buddha sees the minds of others. The Buddha sees his own mind, and he knows that the mind of others is the same. So he teaches that the nature, the condition, the characteristic of all things, of all mind, is the same. So when we can see clearly and know really, then that is one thing. When we cannot see clearly and cannot know really, then that is something different. And there, feeling is suffering, and percept is suffering, the movement of the mind is suffering, and jnana, consciousness, it knows, but that knowing cannot cure suffering. But when we practice correctly and we see clearly, we know really, then feeling is without suffering, percept without suffering, the movement of the mind is without suffering, and the consciousness, the knowingness, it can cure suffering. It is still there, but it has no suffering. So we know the teaching about the five khandhas. Here we don't want matter, we don't want the body at all, so we just deal with feeling, percept, the movement of the mind, and consciousness. And this is matter enough. So this is the fine matter, the fine material that we read about. And this is what is involved in being a real human, in being the state of the God, the deity, and the higher state of the higher God, the Brahma, and so on, all the way up to the state of the noble individual, which does not affect and is not concerned with the body. It is concerned only with feeling, percept, the movement of mind, and the awareness. And that is the metta, which is effective when thought arises. So this is called to have jhana. And we know like this, this is the state of jhana. And then we develop the practice. We know dukkha, we know craving, we know defilement, we know attachment, and we know action without suffering. And this is a deepening of the jhana state, a deepening of the state of very deep awareness. So when we know like this, then this is called to have divine eye and divine ear. Divine eye doesn't mean that we can see things a long way away, or we can see the thoughts or minds of others. If we see our own mind, we see our own life. And divine ear means that whatever anybody says, we know what they are saying. So when they speak something bad, we know it is bad. When they say something good, we know it is good. When they speak Dharma, we know it is Dharma. Whatever they say, we know that it's what they really know for themselves, or what they are remembering from the books, and whether what they are saying is tranquility or whether it is insight. This is called to have divine ear. So all people are the same in terms of their face or the body that we can see, but people are not the same in terms of their awareness knowing, satipanya. So someone who has sufficient satipanya can reach divine eye, divine ear. Someone whose panya, whose knowing, is very, very weak, and they misunderstand that they think that divine eye means that you can see things happening a long way away. Divine ear means that people are speaking in another country and you can hear that. That is the understanding, the panya,